Chapter 10. Family. Laurie had gone back to his grandfather, who was very pleased to see him ready to work. Laurie thought about Amy and about Joe. He had thought the task of forgetting his love for Joe would absorb all his attention for years. However, to his surprise, he discovered it grew easier every day. As time passed, instead of trying to forget, he found himself trying to remember. Throughout the early spring, Laurie and Amy wrote to each other regularly. He was in Paris and wanted to go to Nice to see her, but he would not until he was asked. The letter from home telling Amy that Beth was failing never reached her, and by the time the next letter from home found her, Beth had already died. The sad news met Amy in Vivi, Switzerland. She had traveled there with her aunt and cousin after the heat had driven them out of Nice in May. Since it was too late to say goodbye, Amy didn't shorten her visit, but her heart grew heavier every day. She ached to be at home. Since she couldn't be there, she waited for Laurie to come and comfort her. Laurie eventually came to see Amy, and she cried out when she saw him. Everything was said and settled then. Amy felt that no one could comfort her so well as Laurie, and Laurie decided that Amy was the only woman in the world who could fill Joe's place in his heart and make him happy. In spite of the loss of Beth, it was a happy time for Amy and Laurie. Their love for each other came about very naturally. They knew that everyone at home would be pleased, even Joe. When the family finally heard the news of Laurie and Amy's engagement, Joe was not angry or upset at all. She was very happy for them both. In fact, she was only sad at the thought that she would never find anyone to love. It was only after Laurie's engagement to Amy that Joe began to think about her own romantic future. Upon closer inspection of her heart, she realized that she had feelings for Professor Bear. "I didn't value him enough when I had him, but now I would love to see him. Everyone seems to be going away from me, and I'm all alone," Joe thought to herself. It was Joe's habit now to spend time in Beth's room as a way of keeping her memory alive. One day, she fell asleep on the old sofa there. She woke up to Laurie standing over her. In an instant, she flew up shouting, "Oh, my teddy! Oh, my teddy!" "Are you glad to see me then, dear Joe?" asked Laurie. "Words cannot express my gladness," cried Joe. "Where's Amy?" "Down at Meg's. We stopped in there on the way, but there was no getting my wife to come away from everyone."
"You went and got married?"
"Yes, but I never will again," replied Laurie, smiling.
"Well, come and sit down and tell me all about it," said Joe, patting the sofa next to her. Laurie then told Joe all about his reunion with Amy and Nice, and eventually about their recent wedding in Paris. When he was done with his story, Joe said, "We can't be friends any longer, but we will be brother and sister. We will love and help one another all our lives, won't we, Teddy?" Laurie didn't respond, but took Joe's hand, feeling that a beautiful, strong friendship now took the place of his boyish passion. Joe and Laurie spent a long time together catching up, but soon enough, the whole family entered the March house. Amy's voice could be heard looking for Joe. Now that the family was reunited, they spoke as much as they could in an attempt to tell the history of 3 years all at once. The house was in such a state of excitement that Joe barely heard the knock at the door. When Joe opened the door, she started as if a ghost had come to surprise her. There stood Professor Bear, smiling at her from under his hat. "Oh, Mr. Bear, I'm so glad to see you," cried Joe.
"And I to see Miss March," he said. He then paused for a moment as the sound of voices flooded out of the house. "But no, you have a party. I'll come back another time."
"No, we haven't. Only the family is here. Come inside and I'll introduce you."
Mr. Bear was met with a friendly welcome. They all soon warmed to him, for Mr. Bear spoke well in this cheerful atmosphere. During the conversations, Mr. Bear would turn his eye to Joe, but she would pretend not to notice.
Jo also secretly stole glances at Mr. Bear, who she thought looked more handsome than ever. He was dressed in a new suit, and his bushy hair had been nicely cut, although he still messed it up in moments of excitement like he used to do. They ended the night with a song for Beth, and soon everyone hugged and kissed goodbye. Mr. Bear promised to return again, since he had some business in the city which would keep him there for a few days. Once the last guest had left, Mrs. March said, "I know Mr. Bear is a good one." "I thought you'd like him," was all Jo said as she slipped away to her bed. In the days that followed, while Laurie and Amy were taking strolls over elegant carpets as they set their new house in order, Mr. Bear and Jo were enjoying walks of a different kind, along muddy roads and wet fields. If Jo met him on the path returning home, she always invited him in for coffee. The professor visited with regularity for 2 weeks. Then he stayed away for 3 whole days. It caused Jo to become pensive, since she didn't know what to think. She became very cross at the thought that he had left without saying goodbye to anyone. As Jo was putting on her things for her usual walk one gray afternoon, her mother warned her to take an umbrella, since it looked as though it might soon rain. Jo just kissed her mother and walked out into the cloudy day. Once her errands were complete, Jo dawdled around some shops, hoping to spot Professor Bear. Before she knew what to do next, the rain started, and she realized she had left her umbrella at home in a rush to get out the door. After running across the road for shelter, muddy and dripping with rain, she suddenly noticed an umbrella above her head. Looking up, she saw Mr. Bear smiling down at her. A minute later, Jo found herself walking away arm in arm with the professor as he had offered to walk her home and carry her bundles for her. "We thought you had gone," said Jo as they walked along. "I have not gone yet, but soon will. My friends have found a place for me in a college where I can teach." "How splendid! I hope we'll be able to see you often," cried Jo. "Ah, we will not meet often, I fear, as this college is in the West."
"So far away."
Jo and the professor continued on in the rain and the mud. Mr. Bear then noticed a tear on Jo's cheek that she tried to quickly wipe away. He asked her gently, "Hearts, dearest, why do you cry?" Normally, Jo would have denied that she was crying, but on this occasion, she simply said, "Because you're going away." "Jo, I have nothing but much love to give you. I came to see if I could be something more than a friend to you. Am I?"
"Oh, yes," exclaimed Jo, plainly showing how happy she was at his words.
The professor would have hugged Jo tightly at that moment if his hands weren't full with bundles and an umbrella. The only way in which he could express his happiness was to look at her and smile. Professor Bear left Jo and her family to work in the West. For a year, Jo and her professor waited, hoped, and loved. The second year began on a sad note when Aunt March died suddenly. But when the family's sorrow had passed, they found that they had a cause for celebrating too, for Aunt March had left Plumfield to Jo. This made all sorts of joyful things possible. Things then seemed to happen in an extremely fast and delightful manner. Almost before she knew what had happened, Jo found herself married to Professor Bear and settled at Plumfield. The years passed in happiness for the March Little Women. In addition to Meg's twins, 2 little boys of Jo's own soon joined the family. Rob, named after her father, and Teddy, a happy-go-lucky baby. Amy and Laurie were blessed with a daughter, whom they named Beth, after the sister they all missed. One fine October day, all the girls and their families came together at Plumfield for a big celebration, for it was their mother's 60th birthday. After a day filled with festivity, the girls gathered around their mother, sitting together under a big tree. As they looked around them, at their husbands and children laughing and playing to their heart's content, Mrs. March and her girls expressed their gratitude for how their lives had turned out. Finally, Mrs. March looked at Meg, Jo, and Amy. With her voice full of motherly love, she said,
Oh, my little women, however long you may live, I never can wish you a greater happiness than this.